Return to Camp Blood, Episode 26, Community Spotlight with Landon Evanson. This episode is brought to you by iHorror.com.
Jesus Christ. Jason's alive. He killed my friend, now he's coming for me.
He's got a death curse.
Jason's a legend.
I'm Mrs. Warren, an old friend of the Christies.
Jason belongs in hell.
You're doing it. We can stay here.
Never come back again.
Today is his birthday.
Welcome to another episode of Return to Camp Blood. I'm your host, Chris, joined by my fellow counselor, Eric.
Hey, what's up, y'all?
So, on tonight's Community Spotlight, we have with us Landon Evanson, one of the staff writers over at iHeart.com, to talk about some of his work within the Friday community. How are you tonight, Landon?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good, sir. So, how long have you been writing for iHeart?
Just a little over a year now. I think it was, I want to say it was last September. I don't remember exactly when I started. So, it's been about 13 months now.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. So, how did you land that gig?
I got lucky. I mean, I've been doing B-movie here with HBC for a couple years, and I just want to kind of expand upon that. I've been writing for Bugs and Cranks baseball website since 2007, and I just wanted to expand. I mean, I love movies, love horror movies. I love Friday the 13th, and I just decided I'd look into it, and I Googled, horror writers needed, and iHorror popped up, so I got a hold of Anthony, and the rest is history. But, I always say that I had no idea of the paradise I was falling into. I mean, it's just an amazing bunch of people. It's an amazing site, and I got very, very lucky.
Yeah, we sometimes use iHorror as reference for some of our shows that we've done.
Mm-hmm. And I think that the website and the application is just awesome. And I love that what you wrote about Robert Englund potentially playing Dr. Loomis. I mean, that's spot on. If you're a horror fan, if anybody could pull it off besides a CGI Dr. Loomis, I think Robert Englund could.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing I've always thought that, I mean, as huge as Robert Englund is, and I mean, as much as everybody loves him and they realize, you know, how talented he is, I think sometimes he's been pigeonholed a little bit in the fact that he played Freddy Krueger so many times. I think sometimes people outside of horror think that that's all he can do. And I mean, that's really not true. If you've seen some of the other performances that he's had, I think he could definitely encapsulate that character, you know, kind of in the way that Donald Pleasance did. I mean, obviously, you know, everybody's going to have their own ways about it, but I just think Halloween Returns is going to be coming out, and it looks like they're going to try and get back to the way they did things at the beginning, which I think is good for Halloween fans. But more than anything, I just look at it as I think they need somebody who really has stature in that role. They can't just put somebody who maybe a lot of people aren't familiar with it, even if it's not Robert Englund. But I just thought it would be great because I remember I've seen interviews with him talking about how he'd love just one more big role and that he's too old to play Freddy anymore and he's not going to do it anymore. And it just occurred to me, I was thinking, you know, putting a post together of people that could potentially play the part. And there was somebody that I talked on Twitter with that was talking about Idris Elba, and I never thought of it. And I was like, that's actually a great idea. And I started thinking of some other people, like, I mean, Peter Dinklage would be somebody that I thought would be great. And as I'm scrolling through, I'm just typing up names. And all of a sudden I just out of nowhere just typed Robert Englund, and I just kind of stopped and stared at the screen. And I'm like, oh, okay, I think I got it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and he's been quoted saying he's got the blackest eyes, the devil's eyes, and he's hinted actually, and from your article I've read, I did research in it, and he's hinted at this quite a bit actually.
No, I just thought it would be, you know, it would be something that would be fantastic just for horror fans. I think a lot of people are going to be excited about that movie. I know that I am. And if somebody like Robert Englund was cast in that role, I just think that other than Michael Myers, there's only one character in that series, and I think they go hand in hand. I think
I do too.
Yeah, when I wrote it, I didn't look into it too much with the new filmmakers, because I know that some people are theorizing, you know, at the end of Halloween 2, Halloween Returns is going to pick up at the where that left off, and they kind of had the theory that Dr. Loomis had died in that explosion, and Michael Myers had survived, and they're going to go forward from there. But, I mean, I couldn't get any confirmation on that, and I just thought, you know, if Dr. Loomis is going to be back, I think they need to put somebody of stature in that role, and I can't think of anybody better than Robert Englund.
Absolutely not. And the funny thing is, he isn't playing Freddy anymore, but if he got the role of Dr. Loomis as a sequel to Part 2, he'd still be playing a burn victim.
Very true. I hadn't thought about that. That's very true, though.
So just to bring all this back to Friday the 13th, you've written many articles for iHorror on Friday the 13th. Yeah. And there was one in particular that I wanted to sort of talk about for a minute.
Yep.
And that was the one where you were talking about who played Jason the best.
Yeah.
And I really like how you you went through and rated them all. And I just want to know about some of your reasonings behind your top three here. So we got Brooker coming up at the end,
mm-hmm.
then Mears mm-hmm. in the number two slot, mm-hmm. and Mr. Hodder in the best Jason slot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to assume, because you picked Kane Hodder, that you came to the series probably around the time that he started playing Jason.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's really, I know that would make sense. I mean, I've talked to so many people, like when it comes to like Terminator and Terminator Judgment Day, you know, you ask, which one do you prefer? And some people say they preferred the second movie. And, you know, I said, well, which one did you see first? And they said, well, we saw T2. And that makes sense. For me, though, you know, I'd watch them in order. I mean, when I was young, I mean, I was really, you know, I was intrigued by them, and they'd have marathons on USA and that kind of thing. And I would go rent them. I ended up seeing them in order. So really, you know, I didn't see Kane come along until that seventh film, but it's just, it's not even so much that he played Jason four times. It's not, you know, so much that he's so, you know, wrapped up in the saga. It's just that, his approach to things, and I know some people, you know, you talk about zombie Jason and that kind of thing, but I just thought what stood out to me was just, he really portrayed that intensity and the anger. And, the thing that stands out more than anything for me is, the intense breathing. I mean, whenever they cut away to him and he's looking at somebody, like, I mean, you look at, you know, Jason Takes Manhattan, and he comes up and they're, you know, they're on the street and they think that all is well. They turn around and he's just staring at him and he's breathing, you know, just very heavily. And he just has that look, even though he can't say anything, he just has that look like, I cannot wait to get my hands on you. And and that to me just added to the character. And I just think that, you know, I mean, a lot of people have done a good job, but I mean, I think Kane Hodder's in a class by himself.
He is, and his physical acting is amazing.
No, I just find it odd that someone who, now granted, Kane is a great Jason, but mm-hmm. it's weird to me that you watched all the originals first and you still pick Hodder as the top one. And you guys were talking about Michael Myers earlier, mm-hmm. and I think in part eight, Hodder actually plays Jason a whole lot like Michael Myers in that movie, because you don't see Jason stalking people much. And, you know, and Jason Takes Manhattan, he does a whole lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are times where he has plenty of opportunities to kill somebody, but he doesn't. He waits until a better moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I mean, I understand why he picked Hodder.
Well, it was something, you know, I went into it thinking, okay, it's going to be Kane. And the more I thought about it, and like I talked about, you know, you go on the Friday the 13th, the closed group on Facebook, and I just asked people about it. And there were so many different answers, and people had so many different reasons, and they were so passionate about it. I thought, you know, at first, is it even a good idea? Because I think it's Kane Hodder, most people would pick him in a landslide. And it just came, enough people were talking about, you know, multiple Jasons, that I thought it would actually be worthwhile. Although there were a lot of comments on, you know, our Facebook posts and whatnot about, you know, Kane Hodder, why is this even a question? But when I thought about it, it really did come down. I mean, Richard Brooker to me clearly had to be there, but it really did come down. I thought about between Hodder and Mears very, very, you know, in depth, just because, you know, the first time I saw the Friday remake, I went very late at night. I was very tired, and I remember being disappointed and thinking, you know, that really just was not that good. And then I had scored an interview with Derek Mears, and I said, you know, I got to go back and look at this again just to see. And I remember watching it, and I was like, this is actually much better than I remembered, and really watched his performance, and he was outstanding.
Yeah, you know what? I had the exact same experience, because I saw that in the theater also, and I came away hugely disappointed. Mm-hmm. But yeah, then, you know, I watched it a time or two more, and I really appreciate Mears' performance in that, especially after having gone back and watching the older movies, mm-hmm. because a lot of what Mears does in that film calls back
to
you know, the human Jason rather than, you know, Hodder's zombie Jason. Yeah.
I thought about it. I mean, when I looked at it, I mean, you look at it, you know, Dash, and as realistic as it was, but, you know, it was still, it was kind of the idea that, you know, he was still new to what he was doing, and there was, you know, that inexperience, and he would, you know, make some mistakes and he kind of flop around a little bit. Whereas Derek Mears, it was a very realistic performance, but obviously this is something that, you know, he had been doing for years to protect his territory, to protect himself. And it just got to the point where, you know, he was a survivalist, and I mean, everything he did was calculated. Everything he did, you know, he knew what he wanted to do. Everything was smooth. And for him, it was just self-defense. And I mean, toward the end, obviously, it was a situation where he was like just angry and was like, I need to get these people out of here. And he took care of business. But, you know, it all started with him just thinking, you know, these people might be a threat to me and I need to get them before they get me. And I thought that was just a very realistic. And when I talked to Derek Mears, I mean, all the research he put into it, I mean, you could tell that he's a huge Friday fan and a huge horror fan just because, you know, he'd looked into the psychology of children who'd lost parents at a young age. He'd looked into, you know, survivalist tendencies and whatnot. So, I mean, he really had prepared himself to portray the role in a very believable way and to the kind of mindset, you know, if that Jason was a real person, would he be behaving that way?
Yeah, yeah, you're absolutely right. Like I said, I really appreciate Mears' performance. Mm-hmm. And since you are here sort of officially representing iHorror, mm-hmm. Eric already mentioned that you guys had an app, and I wanted to ask you about that because I know it's a relatively new thing mm-hmm. that iHorror has put out recently. Mm-hmm. What can you tell us about that?
Well, I mean, it's just outstanding. I mean, you go and you download it, and it's just so simple to use. You get the iHorror icon, you just tap on it, it loads up, and you've got all the latest posts. You can scroll down and you click on something, you get a nice big crisp picture. You scroll up a little bit, you see who wrote it, and you can read through. Any kind of video that's there is posted at the bottom. You can make your comments. It just looks really, really good. And we talked about it. It's very, very user friendly. It's very easy. Sometimes you click on something and it's a little hard to navigate. This really is not. If you want to see something, you click on it, you're right there. And then you can just go right into reading or watching the video or whatever it is that you want to do. It's very, very easy to use and very easily accessible.
Yeah, I know. And actually, I'm, you know, as we're sitting here talking, you know, I'm kind of scrolling on my phone with the app. And yeah, you're right. It's pretty excellent. I know Eric uses it a lot. And yeah, we here at Return to Camp Blood endorse the shit out of this app. If you got a smartphone, you need to have it.
Absolutely.
Seriously.
Absolutely.
Beside iHorror, is there any other place where people can find your work on the web?
Well, like I said, I've been writing for Bugs and Cranks since 2007, but we've kind of hit a little bit of a snag here and, you know, trying to figure out what it is we want to do. We wanted to have a site redesign, and we were originally planning to come back here this month for the baseball playoffs, which are going on right now. It just didn't quite work out. We weren't able to get things situated as we had wanted to. So now we're kind of debating on if we just want to wait till the World Series or wait until next season. And now we might even come back and just kind of rebrand things with a different name and just go in a different direction. So probably not going to be able to see all the articles I've been writing over the last, 8 years, but I've dabbled a little bit in some other things. I've written some stuff with Up All Night. I just actually got added on there. I've only really written one article, and it was about baseball, but I collaborated on something with Kristen Ashley over there. She's one of the owners, and on horror, and it was about Halloween and which installment is your favorite. And obviously I had to go with the original. So I'm starting to venture out a little bit, but primarily you're going to find me at iHorror.
Well, I will put a link in the show notes to all the sites that you just mentioned, mm-hmm. which you will be able to find at campbloodpodcast.com/26. Well, all right, Landon, it's been great talking to you. And we really appreciate, you know, you highlighting, you know, our community Friday the 13th on for iHorror. Mm-hmm.
Yes, thank you so much, sir.
Oh, no, believe me, it's my pleasure. I mean, Friday the 13th, I love horror, but Friday the 13th always is what I come back to. It's what always towers. I mean, when I start thinking about ideas for things, Friday the 13th is almost always the first thing that comes to mind. And I always remind myself, you know, I can't do that all the time. I have to kind of pace myself a little bit. So I'm sure I'll be having something on Friday the 13th coming up soon.
All right. As always, please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to the show. If you want to support us financially, head over to campbloodpodcast.com/donate. Send your questions and theories to our Facebook page, tweet at Camp Blood Pod, or send an email to feedback@campbloodpodcast.com. You can also text or leave us a voicemail at 757-637-0216. And while you're at it, please also consider checking out some of the other shows on the Tangent Bound Network, like the network's flagship show, the Tangent Bound Podcast, The Bloodlust, or The Hateful Dead. You can find these shows and many, many more at tangentboundnetwork.com. And a huge thanks to the Downriver Rat for our intro and outro music. You can check out his stuff at thedownriverrat.com. Until next time.